Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. It is Travis Ryer. It is a Wednesday night. We are live here on Ryer on YouTube as the Alabama Crimson Tide puts a wrap on day one of 2025 fall camp. I wanted to jump on for a little bit this evening, talk some Crimson Tide football with you. Of course, we had Talking Tide last night, 2 straight days of Talking Tide here on the channel. No Chase Goodbread tonight. Chase Goodbread celebrating 31 years of wedded bliss to his lovely bride, with his lovely bride, Michelle. I don't know what's a bigger upset, Goodbread married for 31 years or me for 30 coming up in September. 30-year anniversary coming up. Goodbread's got me. He's got us by a year. But in all seriousness, congratulations to Chase and Michelle, but we still decided to jump on and, again, talk some Alabama fall camp with you. Heard from Kalen DeBoer post-practice. So what we're going to do, we're going to kind of combine some practice footage that we're going to look at from the University of Alabama. It's about 7 minutes of highlights. We'll work through that and sort of incorporate some of the things we heard, almost sort of a mini what DeBoer said and what we think it means. YouTube version of that baby. Thought we retired it, huh? With Nick Saban. We'll do some of that on the show tonight. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. If you want to jump in the comments, your questions, your thoughts, we'll get to those as well. Pardon me, but I do have a roster in front of me. I think a combination of age, getting a little bit older, but as much as anything, just some new faces and just a multitude of players at a couple of different positions. Just for the tight ends, you need a separate roster for the tight end position. Pretty crazy. All the tight ends that we're going to work through as a part of this practice footage tonight. But again, we'll tie it all in as best we can. And we're going to, right now, we're going to go ahead and pull up some of those. We're going to try to pull up some of those clips. There they are. We got to get this thing reset where we need it real quick. This is kind of what happens when your producer, director, quote unquote talent. I don't know if a lot of people might refer to me as talent at this point, but we're going to reduce the guy, the talking head there. We'll reduce him down to the left corner, and then we'll get into some of these practice clips from day one of fall camp. There you go. You're going to start with that offensive line right there, Arkell Anugwum, one of those transfers up front to go along with Cam Dewberry. Probably going to be more of a depth provider there at the offensive tackle position, but Chris Kapilovic working with a wide assortment of options between grassroots recruits from the last few years to transfer portal additions. A little bit of everything for Alabama. Good numbers, really, across the board from tackle to tackle. Now, of course, offensive tackle, you're trying to solidify both those starting spots with an emphasis on the right tackle position. But, you know, even if Wilkin Formby is that guy at right tackle, you still need a third tackle. You're cross-training a couple of guys. A new one comes in that can maybe help you with some of that. We see him right there. We also see Mal Waldrop working in there at number 52. I think that's William Sanders, probably more in this middle of that, simulating an interior offensive lineman, can play some center, play some guard. There's Micah DeBose, number 65. And I'll say this, first look at some of these guys and understanding this isn't padded work, but it's a good-looking group. Looks like they've had a really good offseason. DeBose there had some work to do upon making his way to Alabama. And there's Wilkin Formby working on some footwork. There's Jaden Roberts, of course, at that right guard position. Parker Brailsford there at the center spot, as you would expect. Looks like Geno Vandermark there at left guard, and I'm guessing that's Caden Proctor over there at left tackle. So good to see that five out there together because, as you know, back in the spring, you had some guys limited, pretty much some guys out altogether. You wanted to see this on day one. In that left guard spot, you know, is it going to be Cam Dewberry? Is it going to be Geno Vandermark? Geno Vandermark, what you like about that guy is if he isn't the starter at left guard, you feel like he can be your third guard and your second center. He can back up a couple spots, swing between guard and center if you need him to do it. And so you see him work through that right there. We get into another group right here. There's Olas Alainen working there, it looks like, at right guard. He's one of those guys, too. Excuse me. That's not Olas. But there you see Dewberry, 71. Looks like he was working on the other side simulating. I think we're going to get Olas right here. Yeah, there he is. And there's big Mike Carroll, 64, at the right tackle position. Again, these are some good-looking dudes in terms of even the young guys. You know, a lot of times you expect the younger guys to maybe be struggling from that standpoint. Doesn't look like it so much with this fresh group of offensive linemen that Alabama has brought on board. There's Jaden Roberts working with Brailsford. Excuse me, that's Formby, 75. Brailsford on the other side with Olas. We're going to like a combo block, it looks like, coming off a double team and then getting up to the next level, hitting those sleds. More of that. There's Rock Montgomery. There again's big Michael Carroll. Yep. Getting in some just fundamental work. Brailsford simulating a snap there with Alainen next to him in that particular drill. More of it here as you work through with some of those walk-ons, trying to get the reps that they can get. And this is the time of camp where you're going to get more of those reps with guys down the depth chart. And these are just individual drills too. So, you know, everybody's involved. You really, if anything, individual drills are where you need walk-ons as much as anything, because the tempo that you're trying to work at in this fundamental work, you would kill your main guys, your scholarship guys. You need to be able to space out reps during this kind of work for recovery. And so that helps, no doubt about it. Here's the quarterbacks. What did you think of Ryan Williams right there going up to make a grab? What did you think of Kalen DeBoer's comments about the quarterback situation? I thought it was pretty much what you would expect with Ty, obviously, at the top. But it sounds like if you were hoping that Keelan Russell on day one, understanding it's just day one, showed some really nice growth between spring drills and the start of fall camp and going into fall camp. I took it from DeBoer to mean that that has happened. And so the ground that maybe you were hoping Keelan Russell might be able to make up in these next 30 days or so, maybe not so much on Ty Simpson, but in terms of creating himself an avenue as the backup going into the season. Not saying he's going to race past Austin Mack. He's going to have to earn that. But that's sort of what I took from Kalen DeBoer on Wednesday in his post-practice comments. But, you know, we'll see. Still a long way to go. Still got some scrimmage work, teamwork, those type of things. We're just in shorts and helmets. There's Ryan Williams. You know what you got there. And two, Kalen here. You like that right there. Because you can – you can envision that type of play, that sort of against air play right there. That translates, you think, to game day. So much of this stuff against air, you don't want to get too excited about, but that sort of high point, go up and get it, back shoulder opportunity for Isaiah Horton with his size, that's something that you're hoping anyway will translate to game day. The Miami transfer looking good. It's a good looking group of wide receivers, not just in the top three either. There's a very intriguing cat. Jalen Mbakwe, what do you expect from him as he fully makes that transition from defense to offense? Boy, there's a lot of competition to navigate. You got guys at those different spots. Jalen Hale coming back from that injury. Kalen was asked about Jalen Hale specifically on Wednesday post-practice and reiterated what a tough injury it was that Jalen Hale was coming back from. We'll see a little bit of Jalen coming up here in the clips. You can see he's still sporting a brace, but it looks like he hasn't had any setbacks. Looks like it's been, you know, all systems go for him going back to getting back on the field really in the spring and now trying to become one of those top five or six guys in this rotation. And that's where Jalen Mbakwe finds himself too. I mean, it wasn't going to be a gimme to just go from defense to offense, as special as this guy has been in the past as a playmaker, and just sort of jump in there as a top four or five guy. Mbakwe is going to have to earn it, just like Rico Scott. You know, you still got guys like Cole Adams coming back from injury, sort of like Jalen Hale. You know, LaCier Brooks comes in. Arian Hampton is still in this thing. Derek Meadows comes in as a different type of receiver with that size that he brings to the mix. So Mbakwe going to be fun to track here as we move forward, sporting that number three these days. And more Keelan Russell. This is where I think we get into some tight ends too here in just a little bit. And this goes back to needing a roster. There's Josh Cuevas. Good to see him moving well. Good to see a couple of these guys. And, you know, you talk about Caleb Edwards. That's the thing. Caleb Edwards right there, 81 on a sort of pat and go drill. Jay Lindsey looking good as a second year player. More Keelan Russell. Looks like a little window drill right there. And this is where you, again, need the roster. That's Jack Simarco, the West Virginia transfer. The thing about these tight ends that kind of stands out to me, it's like they're all rubber stamped 6'5", 250. You know, there's not a lot of difference. If you don't use the jersey numbers, it can be hard to kind of differentiate between some of these guys because the physical makeup is so similar between them all. But you got Ty Simpson, you got Ryan Grubb working as a flat defender there. Ryan Grubb, when you watch these practice clips, the thing that kind of stands out to you or anyone is that this guy's coaching all over the place with the receivers, with the quarterbacks. Nick Sheridan, obviously now the quarterback's coach, but you'll see Grubb in these drills. That's him with the headset on, you know, trying to force a tight window there for his quarterbacks to stimulate. I love that though, because it doesn't feel like it's just a warm up. You know, you watch some of these individual drills and some practices, and that's kind of what it'll feel like, is that they're just warming up. They're not really, you know, working concepts or really emphasizing fundamentals and things like that. But you don't get the sense with Ryan Grubb around there's going to be many wasted reps for this offense moving forward. You got more of the quarterbacks here. Again, there's Grubb, you know, little tip attempt. And then you're back into the tight ends. There's Danny Lewis. Again, another guy. Very impressive physically. Good to see him back looking healthy, working with those tight ends. That's Cuevas on the other side. You get into Peter Knudsen now, I think. Knudsen's 86. Yes, Peter Knudsen, the Weber State transfer. One of those guys. When you talk about size, 6'4", 246. You know, he's got those measurables and those attributes. It's a lot of tight ends. Now, here's Marshall Pritchett coming off that knee injury. You can see he's really working with some support there on that left knee. But another one of those guys, and he's not small, but, you know, you look at him at, let's say, 6'5", 245, and he doesn't really stand out as imposing because you got a guy like this in Caleb Edwards as a true freshman, 6'5", 6'6", 255 pounds or so. So again, a very impressive group to look at. There's some Marco again. There's Cuevas working through it again. Cuevas looks like maybe he's added a little good bulk there. There's Jay Lindsey. And then you get into a guy in Brody Dalton, the Troy transfer that you think certainly has top three in that rotation potential there. So good looking group. Now we get over to the defensive side. There is a sight for sore eyes, right? Deontay Lawson back out there. And again, maybe it's because it's shorts and helmets, but he looks a little more streamlined to me working in this drill. Just good to see him out there on the grass, really. And sometimes guys coming off an injury like that, you know, when you go out to practice, you'll look at ankles, you'll look at gloves, you'll look at tape jobs, because sometimes in media viewing, you can go out there and they can fool you a little bit if you're not careful. You know, they can kind of be out there with a helmet and jersey and shorts and cleats, but then when you look at the tape job, it's not really there. But the gloves on Deontay tell you that he's out there to at least get some semblance of work. As we heard from Kalen DeBoer, and as you would have expected, Deontay on a pitch count out there. There's Justin Jefferson working with him as those top two inside linebackers. Inside linebackers kind of like tight end too. It's a vast group right now, and a good looking group with Nakai Hill-Green coming in from Colorado, and really supplementing that situation, giving you some more insurance there, not only in case of Deontay with his comeback from that knee injury, but if you have a camp injury at that position, you don't have a lot of experience, even with Justin Jefferson. Played some last year, but a lot more obviously expected of Jefferson in 2025. So working through that drill, Deontay looks like he's had a really good offseason. Justin Jefferson, you know, these guys look pretty streamlined. They look like what you expect working with Chuck Morrell, the inside linebackers coach. That's another thing I was looking at today, too, with the coaching staff. Now, you know, it used to be you had 9 on the field assistants. And you look at Alabama's coaching staff now, I counted 13 in the official coaching staff directory. It's, you know, the lid has been blown off a lot of those limits, it seems like, with coaching staff. So Morrell working with his guys is Caden Jones jumps in there. I've kind of been a Caden Jones guy since he signed with Alabama. We'll see. There's QB Reese, those two working in tandem in some sort of, looks like they're doing some keys and recognition work here, making sure they're working in. There's Nakai Hill-Green, and there's Duke Johnson, another talented young player there. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're going three deep here at inside linebacker with some guys that you feel really good about. Now, where you're going to have some questions, maybe more so in terms of depth, is right here. Now, you like this guy, Quay Rousseau. I mean, when I think about these drills, it kind of takes me back to the days of Sal Sunseri when he worked with the Jack linebackers in some of the colorful comments from back in the day. But Quay Rousseau, big things expected. There's Jamarian Latham. So, you know, you've got some experience there with those two guys. You're expecting playmaking ability, though. Pass rush production, certainly out of Quay Rousseau. I like Quay in that he's built for both. You know, he's built to be able to hang in there and set an edge against the run. I'm not going to say he's, you know, Courtney Upshaw-like in his build, but probably more of that, certainly, than he is Terrell Lewis. But Jamarian Latham, it's kind of bounced between defensive end and now the Wolf linebacker position. Noah Carter, Justin Hill waiting his turn. Yonze Pierre's a guy that, you know, we open fall camps a lot of years and we talk about sort of crossroads moments for guys. And Yonze looks like he's continued to fill out. Looks good back there as he goes through a rep. And some of these guys too, we heard from Kalen post-practice about special teams guys, because you did lose some important guys in terms of your coverage and return units, not just your specialists. I think we think about it as Burnup gone, you know, your specialists, long snapper, kicker, punter, all moved on, but you lost guys like Q Robinson too, that were extremely vital to your core special teams units in terms of coverage and return teams. So this is where a young guy like a Justin Hill, Noah Carter, those are the positions that you're drawing from for a lot of that. And we kind of make fun of all the tight ends, but I'm sure that was part of the thought process too in augmenting those numbers, not just in that Ryan Grubb is going to use multiple tight end sets. And they felt like they probably needed to get older at tight end after Dupree and Oots moved on, but you're drawing from tight end for return and coverage teams. So, you know, these are the type of positions where, if nothing else, you need some of these guys to take a big step forward in the way of specials. No doubt about that. Xavien Brown working with Mo Lindquist here. I like this drill because Mo's able to get a feel. He's able to get something more than tape can give him. And how about Jason Jones too now, working with the defensive backs, the former Alabama defensive back working with Mo back there on the back end these days. Dejon Lee Jr., the long and athletic corner right there, working behind Xavien. And you get into Red Morgan, you know, thinking about some options at the Husky position. Damani Jackson working with Mo here. Mo getting a good sense for that punch, for that pop, and exactly where that hand placement is hitting. Can see it and feel it. John Lee, there's going to be sort of the thing to watch with a 6'3", 6'4", corner. You know, I think there's this sort of default for a lot of people. They see a corner that size and go, well, matter of time before he's moving to safety. It happened with Zay Mincy, you know? And I think there's going to be people who think the same thing. 6'4", 202 pounds, that is a big, big corner. But you're not hearing as much of it right now with this guy. If anything, you're hearing that this guy is going to push and push for early playing time. But he's another guy, too, in terms of special teams that can be very valuable to you early on in his – from the outset, really, of his freshman season. There's Jackson again. Good to see him back out there, healthy, ready to go. And we heard from Kalen DeBoer post-practice about the secondary. He was initially asked about surprises, and he mentioned the secondary, and he kind of caught himself and said, yeah, well, that's not really a surprise. And then later in his comments, he was complimentary once again of the defensive backfield. While also, I thought, just as encouraging, made it a point to talk about the quarterbacks taking care of the football, you know? And I thought, again, going back to DeBoer's comments about the quarterbacks, I thought it was very interesting that he talked about sort of the ability or having confidence. It feels like he already does, maybe, where Ty Simpson is concerned, confidence in the quarterback to work through a progression and come down to what he and a lot of people refer to as the gimmies, because sometimes checkdowns become explosive plays. Sometimes a quick game becomes explosive plays. And I've talked about it a lot in the offseason. I think just with the quick game, you're going to see more of a return to that with Ty Simpson. But yeah, I mean, it was interesting to hear DeBoer say, if anything, Alabama will be more aggressive in the shots it takes if it trusts, and he used that word trust. That's a big one with coaches. If they can trust the quarterback, if the deep ball or the deep intermediate or intermediate stuff isn't there, you don't try to force it, and you're willing to take the check down. And not just willing to take the check down, execute the check down. I don't think it's a gimme for a lot of quarterbacks. It's not something that just comes naturally to some quarterbacks. I think a lot of quarterbacks understand to get to the check down, but still, it's not a throw for whatever reason they're entirely comfortable with. And it shows up in terms of ball placement and timing, kind of what you lead your check down option into. Can you throw your check down open? You know, does your check down have to stop? Maybe, you know, cross over, catch it on the back hip, you know, kind of throw them off their route a little bit. You know, you love these quarterbacks that can do it kind of effortlessly. And it's a tough thing with a lot of quarterbacks. We've seen it with Alabama quarterbacks. I don't think Tua was big on the check down. I don't think Bryce Young was big on the check down. So this isn't sort of a knock on any of those guys or just one guy. It's something that you see quarterbacks at every level still. You know, they like to take those shots. It's a tough habit to break. Dre Kirkpatrick Jr. here, speaking of the Husky position, different body type and skill set than Pops. You know, Dre Kirkpatrick Sr., long, silly, kind of had that Deion Sanders build. Dre a little more compact, but, you know, a guy that's obviously going to be in this mix with this guy, Deshaun Jones, working there at that Husky position. Probably the odds-on favorite as you went into camp in terms of the Husky. But I think there's going to be really good competition there too. It's going to be interesting to see how the options sort of play out beyond those two guys and maybe Red Morgan, who we saw last year as a true freshman. It's a lot on those guys. I like what I see from Dre Kirkpatrick right here in terms of his body type for that position, because there's more to it than just covering in that sort of slot corner. You got to be a physical edge setter type in the run game. You got to be physical against the quick game when people throw it out there on the screens and, you know, setting edges against those type of blocks. Then we get back over to the offensive side. How about this little route concept here? Ryan Williams, Isaiah Horton, and Jeremy Bernard. You like that, don't you, Alabama fan? Ryan making it look easy, catching that little hitch again with that trio at the wide receiver position. Is Jeremy Bernard, you think Jeremy Bernard's feeling a little bit disrespected at this point? I would. You know, I'm not saying I expected him to be first team all SEC in the preseason media vote, but, you know, maybe a little bit more love for a veteran guy who's been pretty productive. But, boy, it's going to set up nicely for him because he's got a couple other guys he's going to be working with. There you see Ryan Williams working inside, which to me won't come as a surprise if we see even more of that this year. Because you're going for matchups with that guy. Anywhere you can get him matched up. I mean, we saw it with Amari Cooper, you know, during his time at Alabama. You take your best playmaker, you get them in matchups that are certainly beneficial to them and the offense. But Bernard could, I guess what I'm interested in is yards per catch for these guys with the quarterback situation changing. Because the one thing Jalen Milroe was going to do was hit more of those chunk plays down the field. But what does it look like now with Ty Simpson? I think it's still a real potential strength for this offense, explosive plays. And not just because of the deep ball or the intermediate ball from Ty, but I go back again to being able to get the ball out quick to guys like this, perhaps. Lassier Brooks, the true freshman. There's that guy again. There's Ryan Grubb. Ryan Grubb playing some Husky here against his receivers as they deliver. Austin Mack. You know, and you think about your quarterback room going into the season, I think Alabama's going to be in a great spot because I think they're going to go into the season with three quarterbacks they really like. You know, three is the new four. You know, when you used to go into a season with four scholarship quarterbacks, well, I think three is about the ceiling now that you can legitimately, you know, you can go into a season with three scholarship quarterbacks, but do you like your three? Do you like all three? You probably like your starter. Yeah, you may like your backup enough, but do you really like your third guy? I mean, if your third guy is a true freshman that you can see down the road being a guy for you, maybe. But I kind of think about a team like Florida going into the season. You know, DJ Lagway, great. One of the best quarterbacks in college football. But what if something happens to DJ Lagway? There is really not much there. I think Harrison Bailey, the former Tennessee quarterback now, is a backup at Florida. So imperative for a guy like Lagway to stay healthy. I think it's important for Simpson too. But if Russell does continue to make those strides, and compete with Mac and perhaps even push for more than just competing with Mac, that's a good thing for Alabama from a depth perspective. There's Shep watching his wide receivers closely. There's Jalen Hale. There's Rico Scott. Again, depth at that position looks to be a strength. Pulling for Jalen Hale. Tough injury. You see, he's still working with that brace. Three quarterbacks letting it rip. This is what you like about Brooks. You barely saw it there, but after the catch, you see the twitch and getting in and out of his cuts, getting in and out of his breaks. Those are the things that really excite you about the true freshman, who you got to think is going to work primarily inside, at least early on in his career. There's Hampton working through a little hitch. A lot of quarterback time, as you might expect, day one highlights. There's Ryan Grubb again, getting up into Ty Simpson as he lets it go. Maybe the most active guy in these highlights all day. Nick Sheridan also in that mix. You see him there in the red hoodie, Grubb and Sheridan. Sheridan working with Austin Mack there. Causing a, you know, trying to get in the head a little bit, maybe with his guys. And you see him here working with Keelan Russell on that rep. Quarterbacks, that competition, really from a depth perspective, maybe as much as anything, something that we've all been wanting to see. There you see the big man, Tim Keenan, leading the defensive lineman here. There's LT Overton looking for some big play production, negative play production. What about Kelby Collins coming in from Florida, the Gardendale native? Where's he going to stack up in this rotation? I think there's going to be good competition really across the board. You wonder a little bit beyond Keenan, how that's going to work right there in the middle. Kind of a war daddy type, but maybe that's Jeremiah Beeman. Beeman looks like he's built for just about anything you want to put him to the test with. Again, Jordan Renaud wearing number 11 these days. It's one of those guys, a couple of these guys, Renaud, Keon Keeley here, continuing to try to make that transition to more of a traditional defensive line position. This is a big stretch for them. What about this guy, Steve Bolo Boomwa? Beyond the great name and beyond a guy that you talk about first off the bus, this would be one of those guys, Steve. Getting his feet wet still, working with that Alabama defensive line. Freddie Roach's guys, much going to be expected of that group, especially James Smith when you talk about Tim Keenan, and you also think about, LT Overton and that trio, Isaiah Fonga, still trying to make his way in that rotation. And, you don't have as much that you have to put on new guys or young guys even. But with Overton and Keenan, and there's Beeman right there, you want to see what the emphasis is on this group and the wolf position early on in the season. As we talked about with Chase here on the show last night, who gets doubled? Who's going to draw that occupation? Who's going to be the game plan guy? The guy that Gus Malzahn's going to go into that opener and say, you know what? We might get beat, but we're not getting beat by LT Overton. Or we're not getting beat by Tim Keenan. Keon Key still working through there. Can't double everybody. But if you're Freddie Roach, you need to have a guy or two that teams feel like they have to double. That tells you as much as anything, you're kind of getting back to where you were with the Alabama defensive linemen that have moved on to the National Football League. And not just the National Football League, but high up in the National Football League draft in the past. Let's move to the comments here and see what we got. T. Tim Green checking in. We appreciate all of you guys and gals tuning in live tonight. We're going to get right to you right now. Tim Green with a question. What do you think, Trav? Can we win it with this team? I like our chances. First day of fall camp, Tim. I'm going to let it marinate a little bit, maybe, but kind of let this team come together. I've said it all along, I think, in terms of personnel and roster on paper, and even that just little abbreviated tour, we didn't even see the running backs, which, you know, you heard some interesting comments, I thought, from Kalen today about the running back position and Richard Young and, the options that they're going to have there. Daniel Hill coming off a freshman season, and then Dre Washington coming in as a transfer portal guy. You like the depth there. I continue to say it. And Kalen talked about specialists a little bit today too. You know, when it comes down to kicking the football and punting the football. And I thought it was good to hear him speak favorably about Connor Talty after day one. You know, because you don't want to go into a season where you know there's the likelihood of tight games, 4 or 5 of them potentially, maybe more, where you need a guy to go out and maybe win it with a kick. And he's been pretty steadfast in his comments about Connor Talty, who handled kickoffs last year. Sounds like he continues to be in a good place where that place kicking job is concerned. Maybe punting, you're a little more worried about. You brought in the transfer from the Colorado School of Mines. Who did we have there? Blake Dowd, I believe, came in from the School of Mines, where he averaged like 46, 47 a punt last year. But, you know, the thing I go back to at the School of Mines out in Colorado is you probably at elevation. You know, you might be getting a little bit of a boost where those punts are concerned. Alex Asparuoff was a guy that a lot of people wanted as a punter. So there's competition for the punting job. I thought Kalen, I like listening to Kalen because he'll tell you what he thinks. He's very genuine, very authentic. Even asked about the holder, which, you know, he talked about, well, it could be a punter because the punters and kickers spend a lot of time together. But then he said, you know, you also like a quarterback or a skill guy there too, because that puts pressure on the other side that, hey, you know, we could fake this thing, you know, and it's a possibility. So he was talking about stuff like that on day one of fall camp, but I get it because, and also you like to have more of a skill guy, I think, because, you know, if something goes wrong, you got an extra defender once the ball turns over. You know, I don't want to bring up the kick six again, but you had a punter as your holder on that baby. So you were down a kick coverage guy to start with before that ball ever got kicked. But there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And it impresses me because it tells me that Kalen DeBoer leaves no stone unturned. But yeah, in terms of, you know, winning it all, I think roster wise, I think schedule, you know, is not going to be easy. And I've said this before too, you got to prove that you can take care of business when you're the better team on the road. And that's something Alabama did not do last year. We got our guy Dexter checking in this evening. What's up, Dex? Yeah, we're back. But we do a little practice watch along, check out some clips, talk some Kalen DeBoer. Tim Green checking back in. He says Quay Rousseau should eat this year. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that feel that way about Quay. And the more the merrier up front, man. LT Overton eats. That's great. You know, like we talked about earlier, force some double teams, free up Quay more. Free up James Smith more, who was certainly playing some pretty good football at the end of last season, a young player. So that'd be great if Quay does it. But again, I go back to what I said earlier. You still need some other guys to step forward at that wolf position. I think Jamarian Latham is a solid guy. I like the leadership he brings that group, you know, that experienced presence. That's another thing with this team. I mean, just about every spot, they got what I call a standard setter on a daily basis. And you heard Kalen talk about that today too. Even if Deontay is on a pitch count in the preseason, man, what he's able to bring to that group from an experience and intangibles perspective on a day in and day out basis. Because what happens with guys when they have an injury like Deontay had is that they're still with the team, but they're not with the team. There's an isolation that comes. You're sort of in a different realm of the program once you have an ACL, once you have an Achilles, you know, that type of injury. So just having him back in that room day in and day out and with that group, really with that group, eating, meetings, on the practice field, in the locker room, everything, not just for that group, but really that defense as a whole is very important. So there you go. Thought we would do a watch along this evening. Not really late night, unless you're just an old fart like myself. But if you got anything else for me before we call it a wrap here on Talking Tide, right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel, love to hear from you. Hey, if you haven't already, hit us with a thumbs up. A like would help us. We're not exactly engagement farmers here. I'm not one of those people, but hey, it helps. A like helps and is appreciated. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. We've had three straight nights of programming. We had an SEC show back on Monday with my good friend and college football analyst Brent Beard. Last night with Good Bread, we talked Alabama, and we're back talking Alabama again tonight, and we'll be doing it again here in the very, very near future. Hattie Mae checking in. Thanks, Hattie Mae. Hattie Mae's a real one. Been around for a while now. We appreciate that, no doubt about it. So with that, Travis Ryer, thanking you once again for joining us right here on the Ryer on YouTube channel. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. Have a super Thursday. And keep it right here for more football talk in the coming days, weeks, and months. Until next time, so long, everybody.